The church here on earth is often referred to or called the church, what? Militant. The church militant. And I believe that there are really two basic reasons for why it's called the church militant. First of all, we are in the midst of spiritual military operations. We abide in a fallen world. We've been called to be the priest of the nations, the new Israel. But there is danger from the enemy all around us within the world. It is shot through. It is shot through with the demonic, with evil, with wickedness. And we have been called to be lights and bearers of the gospel of light in the darkness of this world. So in that sense, we are the church militant. But as a church militant, we are also a church on the move. Anybody that's ever served in the military know that you aren't trained for just simply staying in a fort, in a base, but rather the military by its very nature is one that is able to go to the enemy, to take it to the enemy. It's the military as such is fashioned as a mobile force. A force of mobilization. And so there's a sense in which we say the church militant is not only are we engaged in spiritual warfare, but we are also a church that is mobile, a church that is mobilized in the world. And there is a sense in which we are directed and are moved by the providence of God. Now, we see this and we understand our culture today in this 21st century is a very mobile culture. In fact, there's very little sense of really growing roots anymore in many cases. Just in the community I grew up in, Thermite, there are so many people who are transplants that work or other opportunities, getting away from crime in the city and so forth, have brought them out this way. And so there's not the provincial sense of community that there once was. But there's also this paradox between being those of us in the church who are called to sojourn in this world, not having our ultimate citizenship in this world, but rather in the kingdom of heaven, sojourners who are on the move, sojourners who are taking it to the enemy, a church militant, a church mobile. But on the other hand, we're not wanderers. We're not wanderers. We don't live a life of instability because within our highly mobilized world, it is oftentimes a life of instability, of not putting down roots, not having connection to people and to community in which we happen to live. And it's one of the, and this was not new to 21st century, going all the way back to the early medieval period, Saint Benedict, one of his rules was the rule of stability. That is, you don't jump from monastery to monastery, community to community, but you find Christ in your own cell. So on one hand, we find stability where we have been planted. But understanding where we have been planted at the moment, we are still sojourners. We're still refugees in a sense in the world in which we live. And this was never more manifest than in the first couple of years of our Lord's life. Remember how much traveling the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, had to do. When she was great with child, as because of the census, they had to leave Nazareth and travel some 80 miles away to Bethlehem, to their ancestral home, because there was a census that the governor Quirinius was taking and taxing the world, the civilized world. And so they had to travel, Mary, great with child, having 9 months pregnant, having to make that journey of 80 miles, which had to have been incredibly difficult for a pregnant woman such as that. And then we know that they travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem on the eighth day, which we celebrated yesterday, at his circumcision, the circumcision of our Lord and his naming, and then back to Bethlehem. And then again, some two or less years later, when Herod, being visited by the Magi, felt threatened, and we know then that he was going to try and do away with anybody who would be a threat to his throne. And so he ordered the death of all male children in the Bethlehem district, 2 years of age and under, to be put to death. This was a day that we commemorated on the Feast of Holy Innocents earlier this week. But the Lord directed Joseph and Mary and told them, and through the wise men, use them as instruments of grace, and having them flee to Egypt. One of the things we can stand firm in the face of danger sometimes. In fact, within the police department, when I would teach use of force, the three responses to danger is fight, flight, or freeze. Freeze will get you killed in the face of danger. Fighting, we're not always called to fight. Sometimes we're called to flee. In fact, it was the danger that the apostles faced following the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the persecution that they began to face that scattered them through the world, that allowed them to be apostles to these other countries. And so God uses the intentions of the enemy, the evil intents of the enemy, and moving and directing and mobilizing. And in this case, it was the Holy Family who found harbor, safe harbor and shelter from the murderous Herod during his reign. And when Herod finally died, and it was recorded as a very horrible death that he endured, no doubt as part of the judgment, God's judgment against him. Joseph was told, we heard this morning from the second chapter of St. Matthew, that he was told that Herod was dead and to take the young mother and the child and to return to Israel out of Egypt. And we see within this the fulfillment of prophecy from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, which says, out of Egypt I have called my son. But it was in seeing and visualizing this image of our Lord coming out of Egypt in Israel is also representative of God's covenant with his people and calling them out of Egypt and as the nation of Israel, into a land of promise, into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But we know for the patriarchs and the family of the patriarchs that sojourn would take 40 years for their unfaithfulness. And so the Holy Family coming out of Egypt, Jesus, who is the new Joshua, represents the faithfulness of Israel. The faithfulness of Israel in returning to a land of promise. But it still was not without danger. Because Herod Archelaus, the son of Herod the Great, was reigning in the place of his father. And we know from historians, including the Jewish historian Josephus, who records an account where Archelaus had 3,000 men slaughtered in the temple because they were so-called insurrectionists. and it threatened his power. And it was during Passover, and he declared Passover canceled. This is just one of the atrocities that he followed with his father. So the enemy was very much still there. Danger was still present. And yet, in the providence of God, they were being directed by the Lord to safety, to not return to Bethlehem, but to go to Nazareth, where the Holy Family would live, so that he would be called a Nazarene. And it's Nazarene, if you remember, is a reference to the vow of the Nazarite in the Old Covenant, the base meaning of that word being holy. Jesus representing the holiness of God dwelling among us. We, like the Holy Family, are sojourners. Are sojourners in this world. We can encounter oppression, we can encounter danger, we can encounter all the circumstances of this life which may cause us great concern. And yet we do not live a life of instability because we are led by the providence of God, by the leading of His Holy Spirit. We are a part of the church militant. Yes, we are mobilized in this world of wickedness and darkness. But it is a church that brings the beacon, that brings us into the new paradise, into the new Israel. This is where we find our refuge. This is where we find our citizenship. And even in the darkness of this modern world, the Lord continues to bring about signs and wonders and trying to lead, in addition to the heralding of the gospel and attempting to lead people back to Him. It was nearly 52 years ago, early in April of 1968, the two men who were, two mechanics to be specific, who were traveling in the streets of Zaytun, which is a district in the northeast, in the northeastern district of Egypt, suddenly saw what they believed to be a woman who was getting ready to jump to her death. And they called the police. And the police showed up. It was at a church, St. Mary Coptic Orthodox Church in Zaytun. And as they began to look, they realized this was not a nun who was getting ready to commit suicide, as these men had presumed, but rather, as spectators began to gather, they realized it was an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was at the top of the church. This was, according to the Coptic Orthodox Church, this was a place where the Holy Family had sojourned during their flight to Egypt. And it wasn't just that night, but in a series of apparitions that occurred over a period of nearly 3 years until 1971, there were many documented cases, filmed and photographed appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the church that was honoring her name and the Holy Family stay in Egypt. Now, the canonical Orthodox Church does not theologize outside of the church, but it's almost undeniable that this was real. And whether or not it was in the canonical Orthodox Church or the Coptic Orthodox Church, it remains that Our Lady, the Holy Family, continues to bring and to draw through the light of Christ people who were lost. Many Muslims, as a result of that, ended up converting into the Coptic Orthodox Church. As we have embarked upon this new year, with many of the challenges that we face, with many of the pressures and the dangers that are out there, let us take harbor and comfort and refuge in Him who is the rock, our Lord. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks for the faithfulness of the Holy Family. And let us give thanks to Him who is called the Nazarene, He who is the Holy of Holies, our Lord. Let us rejoice and receive the grace that He so freely gives, especially in His body and His blood, which nourishes. Thanks be to God for the church militant, for we are moving toward the church triumphant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.